Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and for the first time in a long time, which is really close to a lyric from a Frozen song that I don't anticipate you know because you don't have little kids, but I feel like I could start singing for the first time in forever, but we won't.
Thank you.
I am joined in this conversation with Nate Tapman. We have not been able on the same podcast for almost this whole season.
I don't think we have. No, we haven't. I think the only time...
The only time we were is we did the Ukraine update together, right? Weren't we both on that
first one,
not the second
one? That's right. The first Ukraine update.
But that was it.
That was the only one. So yeah, this does feel different. I mean, it feels like, and I mean, the thing of it is you and I talk probably on a weekly basis or at least every other week.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the podcast and talking about, you know, the content that we have on here, we haven't spoken about this stuff in a long time. So it's good to be with you.
I know. It is. It's good to be with you too. And it's been fun reminiscing just about this last season. You know, for us, we recorded a lot of these early.
Yep.
A few of them we recorded as we went along, but a lot of these have been recorded for a while. So just to go through them again, to listen to them, it's been really interesting, again, to process some of that with you. Again, it feels like we haven't really had these conversations, but it's fun to be back together to talk about all the different conversations that happened over this last season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think we're going to do it a little bit differently this year, or this season, I should say, not this year, but this season, in that we're not going to pick our favorites. We've done that in the past, but we thought we'd just kind of go through and recap the entire season, but also kind of in general recap each of the episodes. And so, as you mentioned, at least some of the ones that I did, I think were coming up on a year, maybe about 9 months or so. At least the ones I did with the pastors in Germany and Marcos and Catherine in Italy. And so actually, in preparation for this recap episode, I had to go back and re-listen to some of those episodes. And even though they were from last year, they were still insightful and impactful and still speak to what's happening today. So please don't let that deter you from going back and listening to those episodes.
Absolutely.
Andrew, you actually did the first two that we released this season.
Yeah, we kicked off the year with two episodes from Pakistan when I was traveling there. Again, that was last October. So we're at about 9 months ago when I was with Reverend Dr. Samuel George and the churches there in Pakistan. And I had, during my time there, had known, I took my recorder with the intention of, you know, recording at least Samuel George and hearing kind of some of his story. But the more that I was there and the more that I connected with folks, I knew that there were going to be some other people I wanted to talk to. And so I started, the first episode was with Pastor Samuel and kind of giving us an overview of what the Church of God looks like in Pakistan, the challenges, the beautiful things that are going on there. And then was able to get into the second episode with Razia Mushtaq, who is a leader of youth at the central church there. And for me, that's one of the best episodes I feel like I've been able to be a part of, maybe for our entire time. Mm-hmm. Like her story, the things she talked about, the things that she's dealing with, but her perseverance through those challenges was incredibly impactful to me. And We've interviewed lots of incredible people, but by far that was one of my favorite episodes of all time. And so again, like, I think Pastor Samuel does a great job of laying some foundation for what's going on in Pakistan. It's important to kind of hear what he says, but then moving right into hers, Pastor Razia just gives this beautiful explanation of the challenges, but also the call of Christ on her life. And yeah, it was one of my favorite episodes to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, just as you mentioned, the challenges that she has, I mean, she's a minority within her culture in that she's a young female evangelical Christian, and she's accepted this call into ministry and to teaching. And she just, she exudes perseverance and confidence and not in herself, but in what God is doing through her and in her and for those around. And so I came away listening to that episode very excited and optimistic for the future of the church, at least the church that she is involved with, knowing that she's going to make things happen. She's going to make an impact in her world.
Well, and you're exactly right. And things have continued to happen. Like one of the things that, if you follow us on Facebook, you may have seen some of this, but for those that haven't, within the time after she did this podcast to now, they have decided in Pakistan that they're going to start an Urdu, which is the language they speak in Pakistan, an Urdu broadcast of Christians Broadcasting Hope, which is the radio program. And sure enough, who is leading that and doing it? It's Razia.
Wow.
She is doing she will be the CBH speaker for the Urdu broadcast. They've already recorded a few episodes of that, which are kind of short devotionals that will get broadcast online. And so already she's stepping into some really cool new roles that are going to give her space to share her faith and her ministry in really neat ways. And Drew and Sonny Brown, who are going to be a missionary family on the ground there, visited just a couple months ago and were able to kind of help walk her through how to do these broadcasts because Drew's an audio engineer. Thank you, Drew. He's the one that edits all of our podcasts, but helping her kind of talk through how to make that happen and record some of those first broadcasts. So incredible stuff happening, and we're so grateful for that.
For sure.
So then our next episode was kind of a surprise. You know, none of us were anticipating, well, I shouldn't say none of us. I'm sure there are people that were anticipating this, but not in quite the manner that it happened, you know, Russia invading Ukraine. And so our next episode was really focusing on that. And we actually did two episodes, a Ukraine update and then kind of a part two where we updated our update. And those were, so the first one you and I did where you just kind of talked about what you were seeing on the ground. And the second one you were able to do with Dan and Christy Kim and talking about kind of what they're doing in response to this. Tell me about kind of your experience processing some of that with them.
Yeah, it's been, it's been quite the few months. I think as of today, when you and I were recording this, I think it's the 100th day since the invasion. And so it's been, boy, so many thoughts and words are coming to mind. I mean, it's been demoralizing. It's been frustrating. It's been heartbreaking. But it's also been hopeful and optimistic about, you know, just the perseverance, the tenacity of what people will do when they go through hardship, such as their country being invaded. And even when they are giving so much of themselves, yet there is still part of them that wants to serve and to help others. And so that's a lot of what we talked about in that second update, especially with who the Kims are working with some of the pastors in, some of the Ukrainian pastors, both in Ukraine and outside of Ukraine. And now, you know, kind of giving a little bit of an update on just where things stand. You know, there's not much that has changed since that last update. A lot of the systems and things are in place just to continue to help and provide aid and relief for the Ukrainians, both those who are still working in Ukraine and those who are resettled outside of Ukraine. But, you know, when you listen to the news, when you hear what the experts are saying, I mean, this isn't going to go away anytime soon. And so it's kind of demoralizing a little bit to think that, man, this could drag on yet for quite a few months. But at the same time, we're seeing how the church is stepping up to come alongside the Ukrainian Christians and believers, tying in the other German pastors that we interviewed or that I interviewed. You know, at the time of those interviews, obviously we had no idea that this was going to take place, but especially Sebastian's church, their church has brought in, I think, about 20 to 30, 40 Ukrainian families.
Wow.
And so the German church as a whole, they have really stepped up to the plate and brought in their brothers and sisters from Ukraine. And I believe there's somewhere around 200 Ukrainians from the Church of God in Ukraine who are now in Germany and are being aided and provided housing and help from the German Church of God congregations. And so, again, it's just that in a time of crisis, to see people come together, to see people continue to give of themselves, even when, you know, there may not be much to give financially and human resources. Everybody's just working together.
Yeah, it was one of the things that I really appreciated about a number of the episodes this season is we got to hear a little bit more of people's personal stories. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that was intentional necessarily on our part, but just in the questions and the conversation, that's what was shared. I feel like Razia was that way. We got to get to know her as a person. But that was one of the things I loved about Zabie, Sebastian's podcast. It was just getting to hear his story,
yeah,
and what it means for him to be working at a church where he found Jesus. And just all of that to me was a really beautiful conversation. I've known Sebastian for a number of years, and I'm just really grateful we got to have him on the podcast and share his story, his ministry, his passion. He's an incredible pastor. And yeah, it's fascinating how it connected, you know, with this Ukraine conversation, even though you recorded this in, you know, October, mm-hmm. I think, or in the fall sometime. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, had no idea that they were going to be one of the main hubs, yep. you know, taking in Ukrainian refugees. So really beautiful, beautiful connections.
Yep.
And then you did a podcast with Tillman. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that. Those were both at the German Pastors Conference yep. that you were at, which was a really great opportunity to hear some stories from folks.
Yeah, Tillman, I recorded both of those in the same evening, actually. With Tillman, you know, again, I went back and reviewed that interview in preparation for this. And a lot of our conversation stemmed from COVID, which was still, you know, when at that pastor's conference, it was the first gathering of the German Church of God in like a year and a half or 2 years. And so, wow. you know, there were still some restrictions, travel restrictions in place, things like that, that are no longer in place now. But at that time, again, COVID was still kind of at the forefront of everybody's minds. And it was one of those things where you still had to wear a mask indoors and we had to test, I think, periodically, all that kind of stuff. But so part of our conversation stemmed around that, but it also stemmed around some of the bigger questions that as churches, as pastors, we have been forced to kind of reckon with in terms, in regards to COVID, in terms of what is it, what does the church look like when we can't meet together in person? You know, kind of the future of the church and things like that. And so he and I kind of geek out about that, some of that content and philosophizing about the church and the future of the church and all of that. And so it was kind of a fascinating conversation that I had with Tillman and getting his thoughts from somebody else in a different country, different culture, somebody who didn't grow up in the church per se, somebody who, you know, I think his words were he became a Christian outside of the church, you know? And so he brings a much different perspective as a pastor than what my perspective was in growing up, not just that we grew up in different countries, but different circumstances and, you know, to a different path into ministry. And so it was just interesting having that conversation with him.
That's awesome. Well, the next two episodes, if we jump over Ukraine part two, which we already talked about, the next two episodes were ones that I recorded. So Juan and Miriam Santos from the Dominican Republic, again, another person we got to really hear his story, his personal story and testimony, which to me was really mm-hmm. wonderful. And Juan and Miriam were here in our office, which was great to get to connect with them here. And that's where we actually recorded the podcast. And then later in the year, my family got to go and visit them in the Dominican Republic and spend more time with them. And Juan brings a great vision for ministry and the church, a challenge for the church to be more than just a Sunday meeting, but to really impact the lives of people that they connect with. And so it was great to hear his story, his journey in ministry, and really grateful for him and all that he and Miriam do there in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, that guy, talk about having your hands in a lot of different things. I mean, he's pastoring a church. He does the CBH for the DR, correct?
And CBH for all of Spanish speaking, Spanish speaking.
That's what I was hesitating if it was just the DR or all Spanish speaking. He has he's doing leadership stuff, he's doing business stuff. And is he the national leader for the Dominican or part? I mean, he's in a leadership.
He's connected. Yeah, he's part of the leadership, for the national church.
And so just a lot of influence, and you can tell he's somebody who loves the church, loves to be active, and is doing a lot of great things. And then also to hear him describe a church service in the DR, I thought was fascinating. The length of time, kind of the expectation, you know, he talks about or refers that a lot of his church are very young, first-generation believers. And so, you know, they're not coming in with a lot of baggage. And, you know, you guys have that conversation as well, which I found to be fascinating.
So one of the things I love about Pastor Juan is that he engages also on the political side of things. You know, he's very involved in, not necessarily in political action, although he certainly has done that, but just in prayer for leaders, connecting with leaders, really trying to make sure that the church, again, isn't just a Sunday morning gathering, but it's really trying to impact and influence their community for Christ. And it's really incredible, like you said, the amount of ministry that they're doing and the ways that they bring volunteers and leaders to make that happen.
Yep.
And then I was able to travel to South Dakota and visit with Tim and Kim Wardell, wonderful missionaries serving in Allen, South Dakota, Pine Ridge Reservation. Got to go visit them at Pass Creek Church. And I actually got to be in their space in person with them, got to spend a few days with them, seeing what they do firsthand. And then after seeing some of that, after experiencing some of that, I thought I really want to have a conversation with them where they share some of their philosophy of why they do what they do. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me was their ministry of presence. And so I thought I want them to really share some of what that means to them. I think a number of churches would say that they have a ministry of presence, but what that looks like in a reservation context is just really beautiful and challenging and difficult. And so to be able to see that firsthand and then to process that with them and have them share, it was really, really incredible.
Yeah. And then to give just some practical examples in their day-to-day life, what it means to be present, you know, when somebody passes away and it's a 3 to 4 day event and they are there with the family during that time. And then I think there was a story you guys shared of somebody they saw on the street who was passed out or almost passing out or something. And so it just, you know, as he was sharing those stories, I'm just thinking, what would I have done in that situation? Or what would I do? Because I'm not a person that lives in the present very much. I'm usually living in the future and always thinking about, okay, what's next? What do I need to do tomorrow? What am I doing this evening? How do I prepare for tomorrow? And so, you know, I was actually convicted listening to them explain what this ministry of presence is like. And it makes, it makes so much sense. And part of it is their context, you know, when you're living on or near the reservation and want to be highly relational and, but man, it would be, that would be a stretch for me to do what they do. And obviously God has gifted them and he admits, they both admit it's not easy. It's challenging. Yeah. However, they are faithfully living that out.
I think one of the things that I loved the most about what they shared, and this was probably the most impactful as I processed what they were talking about and recognized as we were talking together, that I think it'd be really easy to either err on individual ministry of presence or a communal ministry of presence and not do both, right? Mm-hmm. So like the individual ministry of presence where I'm with somebody in a difficult situation, I'm showing up, I'm being present, or the communal where like we may think of Sunday mornings as that. Mm-hmm. But what I love is that they wrap those things together. Like when they talked about their Blue Christmas, mm-hmm. where they invite people to come to their church and talk about the grief they've experienced. Yep. Like it's not just, I'm going to be with you in that difficult moment, but I'm going to continue to walk with you, even in a communal setting, to walk with you through that difficulty because we're committed to doing this together. Yep. To me, that was just really powerful. I think so often as a church, I don't know how to say this without sounding, I mean, really almost pessimistic, but that's not the intention. We can sometimes err so much on the side of optimism. You know, there's an optimism to the grace that we are given, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that it erases the reality of the world that we live in. And we can sometimes err so much on optimism that we miss out on sitting with people in those difficult moments. Yep. And I think that's something that they model really well, that you can be joyful, that you can experience God's goodness and God's grace, but then you can also sit with people in the moments of grief and mourning and sadness, and you don't have to act like those aren't happening. You don't have to be like, oh, well, don't worry, everything is going to get better. Or, you know, it's okay to sit with them in that and say, man, this really sucks. Yep. This is terrible.
Yep.
And this is unfair. And I see them do that in ways that are just really profound. And to me, that the marrying of those two, the fact that they would stop on the side of the road and care for someone, but then they're also creating spaces where as a community, they can mourn these difficulties. I was really, really, like you, profoundly touched by that, mm-hmm. and want to figure out how do we do that in the church in general.
Absolutely. And then the last interview was with my good friends, Marcos and Catherine Lavaglio, whom I've known for probably 7, 8, 9 years at this point. And so it was just, it was very fun for me just to sit down. Like a lot of the stuff that they shared, like I've known that about them. I've been, you know, tracking with them. I've been walking through some of that. And so it was just fun for me to be able to ask them those questions and allow others to hear their story and what's happening in their life. And they're just a great young couple who are, you know, just, and when we talk about it on the interview, prior to Marcos being the pastor, his father was the pastor and just had a different style of leading and pastoring. And there were some difficulties, you know, that Marcos experienced as the mantle of the pastor moved from his father to him. And Marcos recognized that he didn't have to lead the church like his dad did. And that's not the calling that he has. And so there are some rough patches, but through all of that, they're able to see the fruit from the difficulties that they've experienced in the past. And they have this new band that they're a part of called iCactus. That's awesome. And they recorded their new album. They had a son that was born during COVID. And they touch on that a little bit and just a lot of great things happening in their local church environment. And so, you know, a lot of times when I imagined us doing this podcast, it was having these kind of conversations with friends, just kind of updating you on their life and what they're going through. And it was just, it was a fun conversation that I had with them.
Marcos and Catherine are two people that I love, and so I'm grateful that you were able to connect with them and capture their story. Well, I can't believe that we are at the end of this season, and we have another season planned. I mean, our plan is to continue to share these stories. I'm going to be traveling soon to Tanzania, where we're bringing as many African leaders as we can to come together to talk about what it means to be connected across the region. And so during my time, I hope to interview a few folks. It's a short trip, so I'm going to do what I can to connect in with some folks, but hopefully we can hear some stories of the good God is doing through our leadership in Africa. And you have some trips planned too as well, right, Nate?
Yeah, I've got some trips planned. I have more trips that are on my radar, but trying to put the dates in place and all of that kind of stuff. But definitely I have going to Egypt, Lebanon, Germany. We have a conference for our Three Worlds Leadership Network in Switzerland. I think a trip to Athens might be in the works. So lots of traveling as our schedule's kind of changing a little bit. We are in the middle of trying to move, not out of Madrid, but to another city outside of Madrid. It's been a little bit difficult with our travel schedule because of our youngest daughter's school schedule. But in this move, we're hoping that our travel schedule kind of picks up a little bit because we weren't able to travel as much. Let me just put it that way. But, but also again, I know you folks in the US have kind of felt like COVID has been over for a while in terms of restrictions, but over here in Europe and in the Middle East, those restrictions are just now starting to lift. And so I think, you know, we're starting to see a lot more tourist groups. I've traveled to Paris and Athens and obviously been around Madrid, and I am seeing more and more bigger groups traveling around the city. So groups of 10, 20, 30 people being led by a tour guide, that is becoming part of the norm in our part of the world. And so travel is opening up, and which is great on one hand, it means that I can travel a little bit easier and visit our churches and national leaders. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we're so grateful that you have listened to our podcast, grateful that you have engaged with these stories. We hope they've been encouraging to you. And maybe if there's some that you missed, that you heard some information about today, you want to go back and listen to, we'd encourage you to do that. Thanks so much for listening, for joining us, and we will catch you next season. Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.